The Cross and Its Shadow by Stephen N. Haskell, narrated by Timothy Turner. Chapter 48, Manasseh. A dying patriarch's blessing meant much in ancient times, and when Joseph heard that his father was sick, he took his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, and visited him. After repeating to Joseph the promise of the land of Canaan, which had been given to Abraham and renewed to Isaac and Jacob, the old patriarch said, "Thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine." When Jacob saw the boys, he said, "Bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them." Joseph placed the firstborn at Jacob's right hand, and the youngest at his left. But the aged patriarch laid his right hand on the head of the younger, and his left hand upon the head of the eldest, as he blessed them. When Joseph saw it, he attempted to place Jacob's right hand on the head of Manasseh, the eldest, saying, "Not so, my father, for this is the firstborn." But his father refused, saying, "I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall be great, but truly his younger brother shall be greater than he." Like his great uncle Esau, Manasseh, although the firstborn, received the second place in the blessing. But the circumstances were entirely different. Manasseh did nothing to forfeit his privileges in the family blessing, while he did not have the warlike propensities of Ephraim, which enabled him to build up the kingdom of Israel, yet Manasseh's name will outlive that of Ephraim. There was one portion of the patriarch's blessing which seemed to be shared more largely by Manasseh than by his more prosperous brother. "The angel which redeemed me from all evil blessed the lads." The blessing of the Lord was prized by Manasseh and his descendants. Although they lived at a distance from the center of the nation and from the temple, and though they had become a part of the northern kingdom, yet they took an interest in all the reforms instituted by the good kings of Judah. When King Asa broke down the idols and renewed the worship of the Lord, they came to him in abundance from Manasseh, when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. When Hezekiah held his great Passover feast, representatives from Manasseh humbled their hearts and came and partook of the Passover. They also joined in the work of breaking down the images in their own territory. The work of reform in the days of Josiah was also carried to the land of Manasseh. They did not lose their interest in the temple at Jerusalem, but gave of their means to restore it after its defilement during the reigns of Manasseh and Amon. It is supposed that the 80th Psalm was written by some inspired penman of the house of Joseph during one of these seasons of reform. Little is recorded of the tribe of Manasseh after the settlement into Canaan. But it is gratifying that, faint and scattered as the passages are that refer to that tribe, they all indicate a desire on the part of many to serve the Lord. The blessing of the angel rested upon Manasseh, and while Ephraim and Manasseh were the names of the two portions given to Joseph in the earthly possession, the names given to the two divisions of the 144,000 in the kingdom of God will be Manasseh, Greek Manassas, and Joseph. The name of Manasseh is thus immortalized, while that of Ephraim sinks into oblivion. Gideon, the greatest of the judges, was of the tribe of Manasseh. He seems to have been the only great warrior in the western half of the tribe. The eastern portion were more warlike. When David went out with the Philistines to battle against Saul, warriors from Manasseh joined themselves to David, but when the lords of the Philistines would not allow David to go with them to battle, 7 mighty warriors, captains of the thousands of Manasseh, joined David at Ziklag. They helped David against the band of rovers, who had carried captive David's family, for they were all mighty men of valor. After the death of Saul, 18,000 of the half-tribe of Manasseh were expressed by name to come and make David king at Hebron. The 5 daughters of Zelophehad, of the tribe of Manasseh, are the first women mentioned in the Bible as holding an inheritance in their own name and right. If Reuben had never lost his birthright through sin, or if Dan had not formed a character so near akin to Satan that his name was omitted from the list of the 12 tribes, Manasseh's name might never have been given to one of the divisions of the 144,000. In all this experience are lessons for every child of God. When God says, "Behold, I come quickly, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown," it is well that we heed the admonition. If we do not, we may find, when too late, that we have allowed the world to rob us of our love for the Master, and that our judgment has become so darkened by sin and unbelief that, like Reuben, we fall far short of doing the work the Lord designed we should accomplish. Someone who, like Joseph, has been separated from those of the same faith, without the opportunities we have enjoyed, will by simple faith and trust in God do the work we have failed to do, and receive the reward we might have obtained. The pathway of time is strewn with the wrecks of character. Men who were once true and faithful members of the Israel of God, and who were written to life in Jerusalem, but who allowed Satan to fill their hearts with envy and jealousy and criticism, until, like Dan, they have lost their hold on heavenly things and are no longer numbered with the Israel of God. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown.